Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Welcome, everybody, to the news segment, November 24th, 2023. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Black Friday evening. You know, Rob, if you look at that intro, but of course, if you're listening via the podcast, check out the video, youtube.com/betteronDraft. You too can be in that intro if you stay more than a few weeks.
More than two. The threshold's three.
Okay.
No, as jokingly as we are, we do appreciate you joining us and being on the Better on Draft team, giving us a Indiana perspective of craft beer. As we're going to go around and go through the craft beer news for the week or past few weeks, I should say, starting with Wendy. Wendy, what do you got?
Do you want my news or do you want what I'm drinking?
Well, I guess we should go with what you're drinking.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. So I am drinking a Schoeferhofer Hefeweizen Passion Fruit. It's delicious. And I'm also finishing up this Bourbon County 2023 Banana Foster Stout.
Well, I guess we should find out what everybody else is drinking. Rob, what do you got?
I am now drinking the Barrel-Aged Blackout Stout from Great Lakes Brewing that I was very excited to see in my store today. Ooh.
Great interview with Great Lakes Brewing last week. Go check out the podcast and listen to that episode. Dan, what are you drinking?
Yeah, I got my hand slapped over that one. Finishing up the BCBS that I had here. And then I'm going to switch over, if you've never had it, the Speedway Stout, the Affogato Edition, which I know a lot of people think Speedway Stout is bitter. This one takes the bitterness away. So definitely worth checking out.
Since AleSmith has really gotten into Michigan, I still haven't gotten a chance to buy it. I blame it on the fact that I live in a craft beer desert, as we have talked about over the last episode. I am still drinking my 2019 Bourbon County brand stout. This 23-ounce, I think, bottle is enough for one day, I think, for sure. 14.7% ABV, so nothing under 10, which is the original rule of Better on Draft.
Really?
Let's try this again. Wendy, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I found an article that talks about Utah's first annual Utah Pint Day. Apparently, beer makers across the state will be offering special promotions and deals, as well as a commemorative pint glass, which the pint glass does look pretty cool. I would want to buy it. But this all coincides with the Brewers Association Small Brewery Sunday. One of the brewers was actually quoted as saying, Salt Lake has one of the coolest brewing scenes in the country right now. He said, everybody has their own niche. Everybody's making really good beer. But the best part about Utah's beer scene is we haven't had a beer scene for so long. Now that we do, it's really great that we appreciate each other. So I just thought it was really cool. I wanted to talk about it because we have talked about some of the strict laws that they have in Utah about beer. So the fact that they're pushing their breweries now, I think, is a really awesome thing. And I'm wondering, is this like the type of promotion that you guys would get behind and want to go and visit them because they were doing it?
I mean, Dan, you love
it. Yeah, I was going to say, let me start this. I have a love and hate relationship with Salt Lake City. You know, being out here, fortunate enough, I can go there pretty frequently if I want to. Wendy, I haven't read the article, so I haven't pulled it up. Are they changing the law about only being able to pour out a draft 5% and lower?
It does not mention that. It just talks about the fact that they're having specials on their beers.
Yeah, well, God bless the LDS. So, you know, the biggest brewery out of there is Epic. You know, Big Bad Baptist is an amazing beer. It's also the only brewery where they have to pour every single beer out of a bottle because they can't have it on draft. There are some amazing breweries that are creative out there because of that law. For example, Grid City does their beer in three ways. They do it on traditional draft, they do it on nitro, and they do it on cask. But if you go to anything above that, it's still coming out of a bottle because of this. I'm not going to say whatever, they're stupid laws. It's amazing they're doing that. Salt Lake City really does have a good craft beer scene. But the LDS is still ruining that state. And oh, I shouldn't say ruining, hindering a lot of businesses that could really grow because of their laws.
Rap, what do you think?
Well, Utah is one of the states I haven't been to. I've been to a lot of the states, except I've been through the airport, but I haven't stepped out of the airport there. This doesn't make me want to go there necessarily specifically for it. It's still a state I kind of want to get to anyway. I think it's a cool idea. And if the Brewers Guild is getting together statewide to do something like this, then it seems like they might be getting enough pull to maybe get some of those laws changed that would make it a more interesting beer tourism destination, perhaps. I think it's a cool idea. I love these brewers guilds when they do stuff together and put together things like this. So I think it's a good idea. I think it'd be fun, but it's not going to get me out there specifically for it.
Ken, it's worth visiting. Sorry. Yeah, Rob, the state's worth visiting. 100%. Sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
I'm a little bit more with Rob here. I think there are plenty of spots that I want to go before Utah comes on my list to go. If I were to maybe make a trip with other intentions, maybe if I wanted to go skiing out there, I know that Utah has a lot of skiing out there. Sure, I could figure out a reason, but I really haven't had a chance to go to Chicago since Chicago's explosion in craft beer, way past like just Malt Row. Like, I haven't been able to check that out yet. I would love to get back for a second time and actually check out Asheville a little bit more. I would love to, like, there's all these other cities and states. Like, I want to go to Kentucky and go to, like, you know, Bourbon and Tours and do that, you know, shtick over there. I went to Nashville and didn't get a chance to hit one brewery in Nashville. Like, I want to go back to Nashville. So do I want to go? Yes. Sure, would love to go. It seems like a neat little place to check out all the breweries. But is it like, do I need to go now? Absolutely not. There's nothing that's really yanking my chain to get to the state of Utah. I still think there's plenty. I mean, hell, when I went to go visit Dan in Phoenix, like, sure, we hit a few spots, but we didn't really get a chance to, like, Dan didn't get a chance to show me Phoenix and Flagstaff and all these other, you know, Tempe, all these local city, so I'd love to go back.
You stayed in Tempe, sir.
Oh, okay. So I stayed in Tempe. I mean, I've never been to Portland, Oregon. I could still go to Seattle four more times and still not hit every single brewery in Seattle. Yep. Like, and I loved Seattle. So, like, there's things that I still would prefer to do over San Diego. Like, again, it's
great town.
Do I want to go? Sure. Would love to. Would love to check it out. Would love to check the beer out. Do I have to go? Need to go? Absolutely not. Sorry, Utah.
So I'm actually planning a trip. Sorry, you broke up there on me.
Oh, that's fine. I just said, unless Karl Malone and John Stockton are out there. Famous.
I mean, the two roads cross. I mean, Karl Malone, and, like, John Stockton way in Karl Malone Boulevard. I mean,
is that an actual thing?
Before? Yeah. Yeah.
They're basketball players from the 90s that were very, very good.
One of the best two combos ever. Yeah.
So I'm actually planning a trip to Alabama. I just found out that I'm going to be out of classes a week early, and we're going to stop at like half the cities you just mentioned, Ken. Graham and I are going to go brewery hopping on the way down to visit my parents.
What Alabama cities, Ken, did you just mention?
She said on the way.
Nashville,
Alabama. I'm gonna stop in Louisville. I'm gonna stop in Nashville.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So I'm like, what Alabama? Like Auburn?
So before we move on to the next topic, though, I am curious, Dan. When you were in Utah, were you there for beer, or were you there for something else and just happened to get to try all the beer?
I was there for both. I was there for it was my birthday weekend back in May, birthday week. So I was there for both. Of course, plan on going to Epic. That was the big one where, like I mentioned, they can keg their beer, but they can't sell their beer, at least in state. Went to Grid City, went to a bunch, but you know, the whole rule there about, they're called High Point beers. So anything above 5% is High Point. And then I learned about something, and we've talked about this before. They used to have what was called the Zion Curtain. There was a point, it's gone now, but they to pour a beer and make a drink, it couldn't be seen in public because they couldn't have kids seeing you pour that drink, you know, mix that drink or pour that beer. So they had to have a wall that they could make it behind. Like the LDS ruins that town. That city is amazing. I hope all of you get to go there if all three of you haven't, but the church ruins it. It's really kind of sad.
It is on my list, actually.
It's worth it. Even without all the crap. Just remember the DUI limit is significantly lower than it is everywhere else.
Well, usually when I'm on vacation, I'm Ubering or taxiing it anywhere, somewhere anyways. Perfect.
If you're driving down, then you're going to be going through Columbus, Indiana. You could hit 450 North on the way down. You could, Against the Grain is down there in Louisville. That's going to be a fun visit, too.
Places you can get beer on draft, the Grain, I'm sure.
I loved it there.
Yes, they are all places you can get on draft, yes.
Well, you know what, Rob? Let's keep it going. What do you want to talk about today?
Okay, so the article that I found is one I actually came across a little while ago. A little bit about me. I sometimes travel for work. I hit a spate of a lot of travel, and so I spend a lot of time at the Indianapolis airport. And there's a Sun King there, but I was pretty excited because it's been reported that there's going to be they're calling it a local beer garden, is being opened in the Indianapolis airport. I'm a little worried because the artist rendition has it before security, which is where I spend the least amount of time when I'm at the airport. But the Sun King is on the other side of security. But I thought there were a few interesting things about this. One is that they want to feature local craft beer. And so I think that's kind of unique. Like I can't think of any that, beer garden type things that aren't branded, except there's one in JFK, but even that one seems kind of branded anyway.
When you say branded, you mean specific brewery?
Specific brewery. And I don't know what is in JFK, which ones it is, but they've got like Brooklyn and some other ones related to that. But anyway, so this one seems to be unbranded, and they really are just the world is your oyster. Pick breweries out of Indiana that you want seen in this craft beer bar. And so I've got a few questions about that. One, Indianapolis is not an airport you usually connect through. Do you see something like that being of interest on a terminus? Like, are you starting before security at a beer garden or sitting there before you pick up your luggage or whatever?
So before security, go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think it fits the perfect niche of people that are picking other people up or meeting someone at the airport. Or if you've got to wait a minute and you don't want to go through the hassle of losing your luggage at the carousel and having to go through like reclaim at the stand down there. When I went to San Antonio, I actually met up Dan and I beat Dan by about an hour and a half. And I was like looking at what's outside the concourse. And I remember the thing was called like a draft bar. And I went there. There were no drafts. There was no bar.
What the hell was it?
It was a coffee and panini shop.
Oh, Jesus. What is that? That doesn't even make sense.
That's a poor name.
And so I'm like, I'm planned out. Like, I'm like, all right, I don't have to worry about, grabbing a beer. Cause I was like, I delay, grab a beer in the terminal and then head on out. And I just remember like, I'll just go over here. I'll go get my bags and then I'll go hang out there and then nothing. And I'm like, this is so annoying. And the like walk around area, there isn't much over there in the San Antonio airport. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty tiny airport. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just got stuck there and they had a lot of, they didn't have very much seating, and the only seating that was available at one point was the massage chairs, but the massage chairs purposely like stick out so you can't sit there unless you're actually paying for it. It was not a fun experience. At that point, I wound up hanging at the rental car. I was at the rental car area for like an hour just waiting because I have Hertz. So you just basically, find a car and go with the kind of mileage I have with Hertz. So yeah, it was I wouldn't mind a few of those, or at least one of those at every single place.
So are you referring to outside of security?
Yes, outside of security.
Okay.
If you give me one, that's fine. Like, I don't care if it's a TGI Fridays. I don't care if they're charging me $9 for a beer. Like, you know, give me somewhere where I can sit and maybe have like a burger and a beer. If I'm waiting for someone to pick someone up, like when you came to pick me up at Vegas, and you came into the terminal and stuff to grab me because you parked for like an hour. Yeah. Like those are the things where you could go sit down and go have a beer somewhere and wait for me. And once I'm there and I get my bags, we can go. Like
plenty of pre-security locations to go to.
Yeah. So we here in Michigan at DTW, you do have three breweries. Technically you have Gordon Biersch, which only sells Gordon Biersch beers. Then you have a Jolly Pumpkin and an Atwater, and both of those are just licensed names. So they do have Jolly Pumpkin beer and Atwater beer, but it's solely in licensed territory.
Now that's most airports. Yeah. They're usually all run by like HMS. Like we talked to Great Lakes last week, same situation, but they get the beers, you know, they get everything there, which is a good thing, but they're all past security. When it comes to Detroit, the only thing I can think of that used to be there, in the, not the McNamara, I don't know what the other one's called, where everyone else is North. At these days. North Terminal. Thank you. There used to be a bar called Legends down by baggage claim, and they were open till 2 a.m. It's something else now. So I don't know what it is, but that used to be the place to go if you're waiting for someone. There, it's very rare, at least in Detroit. In fact, in McNamara, I'm trying to think of something before security, and I can't.
There's nothing.
I didn't think so.
No, McNamara serves as a pretty good, like you're going there, you're getting in and you're getting out. Like there's no real hanging out, but I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the Delta inside the hotel has a bar.
But can you get to that?
Yes.
Pre-security? Okay.
Cause you have to go through security through the hotel to get into, the airport,
which is a sweet spot if you're in a hurry, because sometimes they'll have it open and nobody knows about it, so they don't go there a whole lot. We've gone through there a couple times when there was a really long line. Delta in the McNamara terminal down at the far end, the opposite side of Gordon Biersch, also now has, I don't know if it's the Atwater Beer Garden or if it's just the Detroit Beer Garden.
It's but the Detroit, the Atwater venue is an actual bar, grill, restaurant,
right?
Whole kit and caboodle. I think Jolly Pumpkin's at McNamara, or the
Atwater's in North.
Atwater's in North, so Jolly Pumpkin's at McNamara.
All I know is that the only ones I get to go to are the Beer Garden and Gordon Biersch, because my flights, whenever I leave or arrive, are always the farthest from security as possible. So I'm going to be the at
Phoenix
end.
Flights too.
So like, I didn't even know Jolly Pumpkin had opened because I never saw it until one day I had to go, I had to change gates and I was like, oh, hey, that's new.
What's nice, I think, Wendy, you fly Delta too. If you have the Delta pass where you get into the Delta lounge, it also accepts you now automatically at all layovers. You don't have to pay an extra fee to go in somewhere if you already paid or you entered somewhere else.
Nice.
So when we flew out to New Mexico, we wound up skipping the lounge in Detroit and going to the lounge in LA because that's where our layover was. And our layover was a decent chunk. So it was great to get in there, but it was just annoying because I knew like the... Oh, well, so let me rephrase that. On the way there, we paid for both because then I realized you had to pay for both. And then on the way back, we just did. Well, there was no lounge in New Mexico, so we just paid for the one in LA.
Three flights a day go to fucking New Mexico.
I left my Better on Draft hat there in August at Delta in Detroit because I'm drinking my beers, doing my thing, playing my game on my Steam Deck. And I look at my watch and I don't think anything of it. And then like 2 minutes later, it clicks what time it is. And I'm like, shit. And I just beeline out. I left my charger. I left my hat.
Good job.
And I didn't realize it until after I got home. I didn't realize I lost my hat until I was like all the way there, stayed in Dallas for 7 days and then came home. And then I'm like, oh shit, I think I left my hat there. I just didn't think I brought it because I rarely wear a hat these days unless I'm going outside. But since I was in Dallas, I'm like, I should probably bring a hat for the heat and everything. And yeah,
I was excited that Detroit Lounge lets you pour your own beers and they had local taps on. At the Delta Lounge and what is that, Concourse A, I guess. The
is main it like you can pour your own beers there?
I could when I was there, yeah.
At one of them.
Yeah. Is it like the one with the fob?
The main one in the middle of the monorail line.
No, this is the one of the Delta Lounges, not a pay-to-play lounge.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
So the just food's free, the booze is free, yeah. Yeah, I didn't notice that. I've never been to the non-main one. That's when you like walk down the TSA stairs right to your left.
I've always transited through, so I don't know.
You know, there's one right to your right too.
Is there really?
Yes.
Yeah, I know there's one on the monorail, I think all the way to the right, all the way down at the end.
I think that's the one that Rab's talking about.
I'm talking right in the main entrance area, right in the center. You could either go straight and go down the tunnel, or you could stare at the fountains out there, or you can go to the lounge. There's a lounge right there.
There's two lounges there.
Yeah, two lounges there. I just remember going upstairs.
Yeah. When we were going to the Dominican Republic, my friends, met them at the airport, and they're like, oh, we're in the lounge. So I went in, I went to the left. And I'm like, I don't see you guys. And I look across the way and they're in this. I can see them waving at me from the lounge across the hallway. So I had to leave and be like, I just paid over there. Can I come in this one?
So maybe we can't pour our own. They just didn't man the taps, but I poured my own beer.
Just go pour your own beer. We're busy. That's amazing.
I can't tell you how many times I've drank Kona Big Wave at this spot, because that's the only like decent beer that's not an IPA there.
Still a Budweiser.
I didn't say it was a craft beer. I just said it was a decent beer.
Unless you're in Hawaii.
Oh, Dan, you want to talk? What do you want to talk about today?
So I got this from a couple of weeks ago. Really looking for your opinions on this. This was dated November 16th. So the Anchor Workers launch a WeFunder, which I'm assuming is like the other, you know, crowdfunding sources, to and lay out plans to bring back Anchor as a brewery or as a brand. So basically what these group of former employees are doing are trying to buy the brand from, is it Sapporo or whoever owns Sapporo, and bring that back. They've raised about $45,000 so far from individual investors. My question to all of you, it's a noble thing that they're trying to do, bring back Anchor. As far as I'm concerned, Anchor is an older brand, kind of a debtor brand. Yes, they had the steam beer. They're one of the first craft breweries. But is it worth bringing back the old brand, or should they just be looking to do something new? Because you can make similar recipes. You can rebrand it and not have to be like, well, Anchor's been around 30 years. I don't need to get this 30 or 40, actually probably closer to 40 years now. What are your opinions? Should they be trying to bring back this brand that kind of went on a decline, or should they just start their own thing and make something similar? Rob, you're new. I'm going to start with you.
Sure. So Anchor beer, like Steam, obviously, this is the historic Anchor Steam. Like every home brewer has got to know that one by now. But their Christmas beer is their other big one. Other than that, so I'm not on the West Coast, and I don't travel out there all that often. At least on this part of the country, I don't really see them being that important. So I bringing it back is fine if they have a plan for actually bringing it back or making it relevant wherever they're going to be distributing to. But bringing it back just to bring it back, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I like the idea of, you know, starting something new They could even call it Anchorish or something like that. If they wanted to, you know, spin off, and they didn't want to get sued too much.
It's going to get on them at that point.
Yeah, possibly. Depends how much wax they put on their cans, I guess.
Yeah. But you bring up a good point. You brought up their Christmas beer. I can't name another beer outside of their steam beer. Wendy, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with Rob. Nostalgia, we like it when it first comes out, but it's very kitschy. Like when they brought Zima back, people were all over it for about a week.
Yep.
And then where's Zima now? You know what I mean? Like we all wanted to try it and then it all disappeared. The Stroh's, when they did the Detroit beer here, everybody bought like a six pack and then it was done. They weren't selling anymore, so they stopped making it.
Yep, that's a perfect example, especially Zima. People are like, oh, they're bringing it back because they remember 2000, 2001, when that was readily available. And there's so many better options when it comes to that style of like malt beverage. Ken, I want to hear your thoughts on this.
I love the fact that they tried, but I believe the Wii Funder has proven that even nostalgia, nobody cares enough. I think they just need to let it die. If they want to start their own brewery and do their own thing, that's great. More power to them. But I think that Sapporo, you know, as much as we're talking about the big guys closing the little guys and like ending their career, that's where we're ending nostalgia and people are just upset at that. And I think they need to accept the fact that nobody cares about Anchor anymore. And yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people who love Anchor Steam. Anchor Steam was a great beer. They obviously don't own, like, the one thing that really scares me too is that, you know, Sapporo probably owns the recipe. So unless they're trying to buy the recipe from them as well, they'd have to brew something different. And, you know, we joked about what's the difference of one recipe to the next, as someone probably there knows the recipe. I just accept the fact that you tried, you thought it would work and it didn't. And that's okay. Like, just, it's time to move on, as we all have with Anchor. It's so curt and so blunt, but it's just, it needed to be said.
You're absolutely right, because we've talked about it before. When's the last time y'all went out and bought an Anchor beer or even saw it on draft anywhere? I mean, kind of an afterthought.
How many times have we bought, like, be honest, how many times have you bought one of those types of beers without relation to this show?
Talk about like Anchor Steam?
Anchor Steam, Killian's, Blue Moon, Shiner, when Shiner came onto our show, Shiner after they came onto our show. Like, we have a love for these brands, but one, they're not Michigan, so, or Indiana, Rob, or Arizona, Dan.
Yeah.
Like, we don't go towards those brands anymore. Three Floyds hit Michigan. Now that we can get it anytime, we don't care. Kind of like how we talked about Great Lakes Brewing and how like entering these markets and how people like, you know, will start buying it and then stop. When we were talking about Holy Moses, like Holy Moses, everyone clamored for it to come back and it came back and nobody gave two shits.
Yeah,
even fair. Me, and I love Holy Moses. Yeah,
we were drinking that driving back from SmackDown at one point.
Like, these are the kinds of things that, you know, I think Wendy said it best. Craft beer fans are not loyal, except they are only loyal to craft beer.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. Like, there's plenty of other beers, even by where Anchor was brewing, that people are going to go drink. And if they're not drinking those, they're going to go drink something else. Like,
yeah,
it sucks. It sucks. Like, we might see it when Bell's or Founders or some of the Atwater, hell, some of these breweries are just like, it's not worth it to make this beer anymore. We're not making money. It's time to go. Yeah, Rob.
Bell's, I will still reach for Two Hearted. I will still choose Two Hearted from the shelf when it shows up. And when Double Two Hearted is out, I love that they actually distribute that now. I will pick that up every single time. I do love that beer.
Dare I say, sorry, I'll let you talk in a minute, Dan. Yeah. Dare I say that like Bell's is almost an extension of Indiana at this point, like Kalamazoo, like it's close enough. You've had it for long enough that it is a beer of your liking. But when we had like Great Lakes on last week and he talked about how like Yingling entered Ohio and then nobody gave two shits about Yingling entering Ohio.
Yeah.
Go on, Dan.
Oh, geez, I lost my train. Oh, here we go. So when do you all think that'll happen to Sierra Nevada? Because I feel like it's going to come.
So I disagree. I think Sierra Nevada, because Anchor Steam sold Anchor Steam. What does Sierra Nevada sell? Hazy things or little things, like that entire thread and chain. It's what saved Fat Tire, or not Fat Tire, New Belgium. New Belgium would be dead right now. I would stake money New Belgium would be dead if it wasn't for Voodoo Ranger.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but that whole line.
Eventually, the owner of Sierra Nevada is going to retire. It's got to come eventually.
I was about to say Rex Grossman, but it's Ken Grossman, not
the quarterback. But yeah, Ken Grossman's going to retire eventually. What happens when that actually happens?
They have several beers I actually love, and so that would be very sad if they went away.
But you can also name more than one Sierra Nevada beer.
Yes.
That was a non-pale ale.
Celebration?
Yeah, which is on shelves, and I was very excited to see it again.
I was going
to
say Norwal, but...
I mean, or Bigfoot?
Yeah, Bigfoot. But can most people name that beer? Or those beers?
I think, you know, Sierra Nevada Pale and Torpedo are going to keep them going. But I think the Little Things series, in 1 year, I would put money on Little Things being a brand bigger than Pale Ale.
Really? Okay.
Oh, for sure. I think it will overtake as the want for fruity, flavorful, little bitter, little pine, but not overbearing beers, just like Voodoo Ranger did. I mean, how many different Voodoo Rangers are there?
Oh, like 5 or 6.
Yeah. You know who was ahead of their game? Sculpin, Ballast Point.
Oh, yeah. Habanero Sculpin.
They were so far ahead of this IPA variant craze that they were good enough that they sold to
Kings and Convex.
Constellation, and then sold to Kings and Convicts
for $1 billion. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they made out like they were ahead. They understood what was going on. Now with Sierra Nevada, like they've got that. With Bell's is even tiptoeing it with all the two-hearted variants, lighthearted, two-hearted, black-hearted, double-hearted,
cold-hearted.
Is that a thing or did you make it up?
I love the cap on that one.
Because cold IPA needs to be a thing.
Is that like a Elton John or whatever?
Foreigner. That's hot-blooded.
I think Sweetwater has got the line on it too, but all of theirs is around their 420 strain that is very pot-like, and I don't actually
420 like... strain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Sierra Nevada, like, again, what happens when these breweries, like, I think Sierra Nevada could sell to a co-op or get money backed for a co-op when Ken Grossman decides to retire. Bell's, I think, could have easily done it. That's a Michigan thing. If you wanted to start a co-op, a union, and have purchased Bell's, but I think Larry just, you know, we don't know what kind of rapport and relationships all these older guys have with some of these bigger brands. So in my mind, I think it would have worked. I think Bell's could have easily been a co-op, stayed employee, you know, been employee owned and worked fine. But again, New Belgium was employee owned and they sold as an employee owned organization to
Lion.
Yeah. Kieran. So
No, it totally makes sense. I agree with what all of you said. Ken, what's your story?
What's my story? Oh, God. So it started in 1986. Well, 1985. Okay.
News article. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Veteran Draft is made possible thanks to our sponsor, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan. Open Tuesday to Sunday, North Center provides a fun atmosphere with amazing beer. Try their Bobby English while playing shuffleboard or wash down their classic Reuben sandwich with a glass of painkiller. Find them online at northcenterbrewing.com. Better on Draft is sponsored by Zatuna Liquor. Located on Rochester Road in Rochester Hills, go visit Jack and see why he is known as one of the best beer and bourbon stores in the state. A large variety of singles, wine, booze, and snacks, Zatuna Liquor is your one-stop shop before a party. Better on Draft is sponsored by Craft Tapped. Currently located in 11 states, including Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, Craft Tapped is a monthly subscription that pays for itself after just one visit to your local brewery. Use the code BOD at checkout and receive 15% to any membership, not just for Michigan fans. For Michigan fans, get 50% off your first two pints at each venue you go to, including Better on Draft sponsored North Center Brewing and 2022 March Draftness winner Copper Hop in St. Clair Shores.
So there is a massive news article, which we've always touched on when it comes to major organizations like your big grocery retailer, your Giant Eagle, Kroger, Walmart, Meijer here in Michigan. Total Wine, which we talked about on the previous episode, was going through where three anonymous employees told Politico the agency was looking into the wholesaler, that's the FTC, the agency, for violations of the Robinson-Patman Act, which bars suppliers from offering favorable pricing to large retailers at expense of small stores. Now, the industry of alcohol, beer, and wine here in Michigan, at least, obviously it's different for some other states, but in Michigan, it's protected by the three-tier system. As much as we hate the three-tier system and a lot of the things that happen, the three-tier system protects the ability for a lot of small businesses to stay in business and not get bullied out by the ability to undercut, undersell, by larger brands like your Total Wine, Meijer, Kroger, etc. So these businesses like Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, they have one, a minimum price for all of their liquor, period, meaning that their liquor cannot go below a certain price. But this means that it's all controlled by the liquor is all controlled by the MLCC and it's sold to Zatuna Liquor. But when you go into wine, or basically everything that's not liquor, wine, seltzer, beer, cider, mead, etc., it typically goes through a secondary market. So it goes through a distributor, it goes through a person, and then it gets sold to Zatuna Liquor. For some places here in Michigan, too, you can sell yourself. Like, for instance, Baffin could technically go to Pat Cleary's, Pat O'Leary's, Patrick Brady, I don't know what the Irish pub that's like two doors down, and they could sell a keg of their beer to that place. The only difference is that they cannot sell their beer at one price to one place and then a different price to another. You have to stay consistent across the board to protect you from playing favorites, from breaking, you know, laws, undercutting, underselling, saying, you know, hey, if you're a big time tap house that is going through a lot of beer, say for instance, Ford Field, where you're getting a shit ton of people in throughout a day and buying a bunch of beer and leaving, they can't compete with, say, a local bar like Three Nick Scoreboard, because Three Nick Scoreboard is going to only be able to sell to the handful of people in Allen Park, whereas Ford Field is Ford Field. So you have to sell it to these places at the same price. Well, the FTC is investigating with the Total Wine because they believe that people were selling to Total Wine at an undercut price, a lower price, because Total Wine can buy in bulk, can buy in a lot. My question to you is that, and this is more of a, this, I don't think this will get political, but I think it'll get policy. Do you believe in your heart that a free market
alcohol market would still allow for small businesses here in Michigan to survive, where wine, breweries, distributors can sell at whatever price to whatever person for whatever amount, can offer large purchase discounts like they do in other businesses. Do you think this could exist in this state? And you know what, Rob? Picking on you, the new guy. I already know. I usually go to Dan first, but I want to
especially hear,
for this kind of question. Oh, for sure. But Rob, do you believe a free market in alcohol could exist? Why or why not?
Wow. So if we're talking totally free, then yes, but it would be so easy for the big boys to play on. Well, what would be considered unfair in today's, you know, non-free market to squeeze everybody out. Like, and they already do that. The big boys buy basically shelf space in all the liquor stores. And so the little guys can't be in the liquor stores so much. So that's already happening. It happens with the tap handles. It's so if it went to totally free, yeah, I don't see any reason why some large conglomerate wouldn't just buy all the tap handles in the liquor stores in a town like Coke being in Atlanta.
Don't you think though that the free market, especially as we talked about buying local, like the Am I the Asshole from our previous episode, where people, the free market would fix it because people would clamor for those alternatives.
The people who can't be arsed, they would just go to whatever's local, and they wouldn't care. The people who care about the locals and keeping it nearby, sure, I would still be going to Trader's Brewing. I like their beer. I go up there for trivia. I go up there some other times too, but they make good beer. I would still go there. They only care their own beer. That's all they have on tap. They would probably still be in business just for me. But yeah, it's so the locals would still be around, and I love that idea, but they're not. Traders doesn't distribute, as far as I know. I don't think they have any other taps. They might have some like across the street, but that's all I would know about.
Now, these industries, these breweries, you know, and we're talking the big ones. We're talking, you know, Anheuser-Busch, Molson Coors, Constellation, Diageo, could easily purchase all the tap handles to where now you can't get, you know, because Traders can self-distro probably, unless they're a brew pub, self-distro to the local Buffalo Wild Wings or to the local bar, restaurant, TGI Fridays, etc. These breweries could potentially force them out, saying you will not have our beer next to their beer. And is your choice now you have to get all Trader's beer, or are you going to make sure you have Miller Lite? Because just like the Am I at the Asshole, these folks wanted their goddamn Miller Lite, Aunt Sally.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think would happen, is all the bars that are just catering to people who want alcohol, they're going to be served by the big vendors, and only the little breweries that are hosting their own taps will be, that's the only place you can get non-big vendor beer.
Wendy, what do you think?
So I think in a perfect world, we could make it work. But it's not a perfect world at all. I remember when I was, I chaired a haunted house back in the day, a lot of years ago, and I couldn't put a flyer up for coupons for this haunted house in any of the stores in my city, because there was a large haunted house in Ypsilanti that paid people to not put any other advertisements for haunted houses up if they were able to put theirs in there. So it's that type of thing that I think we would see. The party stores, the local bars, those would be the ones that would, that you would be susceptible to finding we couldn't get shelf space there, or we couldn't get tap handles. But I don't think it would change as much for our local breweries, because we're still supporting them. Craft beer people want to support the people in their neighborhood. They don't want necessarily to just like with we were talking about earlier with once a beer gets here, we want it for like a week and then we're like, okay, next thing, you know, like we're loyal to those around us, but we're not going to like, we're not going to those bars anyways. We're going to the bars where we can get the stuff we want. I don't go to the neighborhood bar that doesn't sell craft beer unless I'm not looking for a craft beer. So I guess that's that. Yes, we could make it work, but no, I think that there would be, the big guys would try to force out the little guys and they would play those games like that. But I think that people would still continue to support their local craft beer places.
I believe it's the bitterness that we see within the industry, especially as we got my message from the distributor that talked about how like brand reps can control where Bourbon County goes and distributors can control where this one beer goes. And I know it's one beer and it's a very specific thing, but in reality, we see all of this, but then we see like, as I was talking to about Binnie's earlier and how like Binnie's in Chicago, there's plenty of them where you could just go get a case of rare off the shelf and be perfectly like at MSRP too, not even like at a ripoff price. But Dan,
so refresh my memory because Robin Wendy's responses kind of threw me off. So we're talking about being able to sell at a discount to bigger people who move the spear, for example, Ford Field. Is that correct?
Yes, so currently in the state of Michigan, if you're a distributor, if you are a brewery, you cannot sell a keg of Bud Light, we'll use Bud Light for this example, to Ford Field, to Zatuna Liquor, to Three Nick Scoreboard at different prices. It is the same price at all three spots.
Okay, so that's totally fair. What I would be in favor for, and this might kind of make people mad, but so you have the floor, you have to sell to a certain price, but you can sell it at a discount for people who move it more. So say we're Zatuna Liquor, I'll just use that for an example. You sell it for that price, but you can sell to Ford Field at a discount. Because when it comes to the end of the day, you know, Ford Field sells beer on one day a week for 17 weeks. So 8 or 9 weeks throughout the year. If it's a Tuesday afternoon, you're going to another bar. Those discounts aren't really going to hurt. Even when it comes to like a hockey game, a basketball game, even a baseball game, you're not going there for a beer on a Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon, unless you're going to the baseball game. I don't see how that actually hurts, you know, your local bar, because I can go to Ford Field, spend $150 for a seat and get a beer at a higher margin. It doesn't really hurt anyone at the end of the day. Does that make sense?
Are you saying that I feel like you need to at least have maybe a ceiling price?
And yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So there's the maximum. So whatever they're selling to everyone, that you can't go above that. But Ford Field can get a discount because on a Sunday afternoon, they're going to sell a shit ton of beer. That's totally fine. You can't raise it above that price that you're selling it to Zatuna. You're selling it to Mad Club, something like that. You can't sell it above that, but you can sell it below. There's nothing wrong with that.
How do you verify what the ceiling price is, though? Is it something you have to register? Is it something that has to register every month, every quarter, every year? Because if I'm selling everything at, say, $10, well, we're just going to use small numbers. I'm selling everything at $10. I'm going to go to Ford Field and I'm going to go to $8. But this one place really wants this beer. I'm going to sell it to them for $12. Now my ceiling's $12.
So you would have to figure out, and we're getting more complicated now, and I'm glad you asked that. You could probably have the best way to do it is a certain percentage above cost as the floor or as the maximum.
Yeah, but is Anheuser-Busch going to give you the at cost price? Like, are they going to tell you what cost is?
And that's where we're getting the flaws in my idea here.
I'm really good at that.
Off from the free market concept too. This is into the normal bulk discount type of situation. And that's like, right. You go out with a price list. So I work in software. You go out with a price list and nobody pays that price. Everybody pays a discount on that price in software anyway. But it would be like that. So in this situation too, where the price list is whatever the list is, and maybe the smaller places get stuck paying either the full price or similar, but then the larger places are paying less. But that's different from if it's just free market, because if it's free market and Anheuser-Busch says, oh, you moved a whole lot of product here, you can have all of these at a discount as well. Like you sold a ton of Bud Light, have all of these other products, have some Elysium, have these five other things that use up all of your taps at a discount. That's where it gets into predatory type stuff.
Because now the six taps is Bud Light, Busch yep. Light, Goose Island, Elysian, and X beer, whatever that Irish red is by you, Dan. Four piece.
Let's oh, Kiltlifter. Kiltlifter.
Even though they aren't allowed to have a discount now, they still have kickback programs that if you buy so much by the end of the year, you get a discount, you get a rebate.
Yeah, or free kegs.
So you're still getting a discount, you're just not getting it up front.
We'll come clean your lines for you.
Right.
Yeah, they'll pay someone to clean.
No, a lot of time it's a check back
more often.
So I mean, they're still getting the discount; they're just not getting it up front.
Yeah, I think
back end.
You know, and I understand like registering at least your like price, like your baseline price. As Rob said, there's nothing that's stopping them from making the baseline price a giant price and then just playing under that price. Like, yep, oh, hey, fair. this keg, this, you know, half barrel of Bud Light's $500. Like the hotel costs where the max price of any hotel has a max price, but that max price is like $500 for a Motel 6 in Madison Heights. Like, Motel 6, Motel 8, Motel 6.
Super yeah, great. Motel 6.
But
Nights In.
Yeah, there's...
Yeah, they can leave the light on.
There's so Bodell, much room that you can work with. So I think I understand being, you know, very hyper-vigilant against these larger organizations, Meijer, Total Wine, Kroger, Giant Eagle, Walmart, etc., to at least protect... the liquor stores really in this point, we're not even talking about craft breweries. We're talking about small businesses like yours to tune a liquor. Gosh, we need to charge more money for the amount of times you drop their name. Yeah. Today.
It's like eight times.
I know. Zatuna Liquor, or what was that place in Warren that sponsored us one? Champagnes, I think
Old Chicago.
It wasn't on Old Chicago. It was on like 12 or 13.
I think it was 13 Mile then.
And like Shaner or something like that.
That was like for 2 weeks.
They sponsored us for a couple months.
Oh,
okay. And then Jack took over. It was like, this is mine now.
Shout out to 3NX Scoreboard because.
Yeah, I Ryan always answers my texts when I have questions about stuff. So always shout out to 3NX Scoreboard. But yeah, so it helps them. It helps 3NX Scoreboard. It helps bars, small businesses, basically. It's protecting them from being eaten up by the larger organizations, because as much as there's a million beer SKUs, they're limited based on what they're selling. That is going to do it for the craft beer news segment. We will be back next week. We have a return guest. I got to get another one of these ESG glasses ready, as we're going to have Ryan Locke on, formerly of Brew Detroit, now with M4CIC distribution here in Michigan, to give us an insight on what we can learn about the distribution world. We can ask him maybe some of these questions. And right. Unless he pleads the fifth like he did with everything with Brew Detroit. It was great times, and he felt I talked to him at the Better on Draft Beer Festival over at Jimmy John's Field. He was like, I felt so bad because you were asking me, so it looks like you brew dragon mead. And he's like, I can't talk about that. I'm like, it's on your website. And he's like,
So he won't be as handcuffed, so we'll be able to get to know him as well as the industry a little bit more. Follow us on all of our social medias. That's TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Untappd, YouTube, Kick, Twitch, Twitter, X, MySpace, Friendster, LiveJournal,
Still not on Rumble. Don't know why, but...
We're on Rumble.
Are we on Rumble?
Yeah, better on Draft.
Oh,
thanks for paying attention, Dan.
You didn't mention it. So
I mentioned a lot of things, both that we have and that we don't have.
Are we on Thrinder?
We're not on Thrinder. We left there because we felt that bringing four people to a three way is not a proper etiquette.
Next thing anyway.
Wait, that's a real thing.
It was.
I don't spend enough time.
It was for a while.
I don't know. Better on
hey, before you
yes,
do that,
Wendy.
Forget that Sunday is Small Brewery Sunday. Go out and support your local guy.
This is coming out on Monday.
Do it yesterday.
Do it yesterday.
You know what? Better on Draft Tuesday.
Do it every day.
Go watch Better on go listen to Better on Draft on your way to getting beer on draft in a growler keg at your local brewery. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Cheers.